It is so good. It is so good to see you. So good to get home. And check this bad boy out. This new, like, I told Devin, dude, this thing's bigger. I can get more notes on there. We can preach longer. I'm just like, woo. No, we'll try. Especially today, we will try not to. I could just fill hours with telling you all that we've experienced, all that God has done, and how much we love you guys and have missed being with you. I could just go on and on and on about that, but I won't. But it is so good to be home. For those of you, like I said, who don't know me, who've been around here, though, my name is Ken, Pastor Ken, and I've been on sabbatical for the last 3 months. Been on the really, honestly, the journey of a lifetime. But after 3 months, 7 countries, 36,000 miles, 16 air flights, 4 boat rides, 4 trains, numerous subways, buses, and 1 insane rental car trip in Italy, I am really glad to be home. You thought it was bad on the 405. Those people are nuts. Whew. But man, I am just so, so very glad to be home and to be with you this morning. So I thought what I would do, just to get this out of the way, because it's going to save me some time, save you some time, everything else. I have so many stories, but I'm going to answer just a couple questions that everyone keeps asking me about what happened while we were gone. Number one, what was my favorite part? Okay, my favorite part was cooking lessons with Brenda in Florence, Italy. Yeah, to just do that, I could go on for hours. What was my favorite place? That was hard, but the ancient city of Corinth, where Paul wrote the first letter, first and second Corinthians to. Wow, you will hear about that one. I guarantee you that. What an amazing thing. And hands down, the greatest blessing of the entire trip was getting to spend just isolated time with my amazing, wonderful, beautiful, supportive wife. Man, what? Yeah. And our 4 girls that I got to have some amazing journeys with. And as many of you know, we become empty nesters here in literally just a couple months. And so the timing on that, again, God's timing, it couldn't have been any better. It was just amazing. What I love is that while I had the privilege and the blessing, and I just want to thank you for allowing us to be away for this time, what I love is that while we've been away, things have gone so amazingly great here. And that can get a little unnerving for me. I'll share more about that in a minute, but I mean, you've been meeting in the gym. Did you have fun with that? Yeah. Not every church is blessed with that. Be thankful. Be thankful. Man, I am so thankful that we're blessed with that facility, that we could do that. Some of you met people, and I heard stories. Some of you bumped into people in the gym and went, oh, I didn't know you went to church here. Because we were all together, right? You're like, yeah. They're like, yeah, I go to second service. You're like, I go to first service. Man, you guys ought to go to lunch sometime. Maybe today. I don't know. But it's been amazing. And you had some amazing, amazing guest speakers, didn't you? Man, they were awesome. I got to tell you, I mean, weren't they great? I mean, these guys are friends. They are people who, man, we are just blessed with. In fact, I was afraid, knowing how good these, and people were like, really, you know, because I kept saying, you got to come see this Carlos guy. And then people, like, the next week were like, that guy was good. And I was like, what, you think we're going to bring, you know, some not good people in? These guys were awesome. And I honestly worried. I was like, you're going to hear all these guys and all their amazing stuff. And then you're going to be like, Ken who? You know, kind of thing. I was just like, what's, you know? And it, well, in fact, to kind of keep with the themes that we've gone through in the summer, I just thought, because I listened to all the messages, which you need to know that some of what we've done in this thing, in this infrastructure improvement, is increased our ability to get what we do here out there. And to take the messages, and they sound good, and it's awesome. They sound so much better now. And I think there's even someone in the offices right now looking at the live streaming stuff that we're going to be able to do. We've had so many people say, man, we want to, you know, be able to get the live stream of the service, and please still come to church, even though you can watch it in your living room. We love being with you guys. But those are the kinds of things we've been able to do through all of this project and stuff. But as I thought about it, and I was listening and just trying to absorb the messages that you were hearing, I started to think, I wanted to be part of what you were doing. And this morning I thought I would share with you some things because, you know, it really is true that there's a piece of my heart that when we walked away, there's a piece of my heart that was like unsure. Like, what is this going to be like? And you know, some people said, well, you know, Ken, you know, it's going to be so hard for you to walk away because of the construction project. And I love getting my hands dirty. I love being involved. It was probably a really good thing. It was a good thing in a lot of ways that I wasn't, even though I love that stuff and I love being involved in it. But there's deeper things at work that God allowed me to work through in this time. And to kind of go with what you guys have been doing, I just wanted to reintroduce myself too and say, you know, my name is Ken Lamont. And I am a grateful child of God. I belong in his family because he loves me. He sings over me and gave his life of his one and only son so that I could spend eternity in a full relationship with him. And because of that, I have absolute confidence and peace in the midst of my own past shortfalls and sinfulness and my ongoing struggles that I have. And I struggle like all of us do. You know, I struggle with seeking the acceptance of people, which sometimes goes with this crazy job. And my spider, I gotta tell you, if you didn't hear, you gotta go back and listen, read the book or whatever. I killed all kinds of spiders this summer. Some of them were like the wrong one. Because I kept going, that's my spider, that's my spider, that's my spider. I had every spider you could imagine. I was like, you know, trying to kill spiders everywhere. But when it all boiled down, I realized that in some way, shape, or form, and some of you could look at the pictures and go, man, you got to do this trip and all this stuff, and it was amazing. But one of the honest truths is I realized that my spider is envy. That is not what I thought it was going to be. I had all kinds of other spiders that I was ready to, you know, like fess up to. But that one, and where I realized it was because deep down inside I realized that envy causes me to compare what I have and who I am with everything and everybody else. And because of that, when you take a person like me and you walk away from some of the things that oftentimes give you, you know, some feelings of, you know, acceptance and things like that, and then on top of that, you throw in some amazing speakers, the evil one starts planting seeds in your life that just says, see, you don't measure up. See, these people are better. See that, you know, and you start thinking, man, are they going to want me home? And I am thankful for everybody who has said welcome home, but, you know, I mean, I leave town and you guys have Carlos Whitaker. That guy is like Spider-Man, like literally, right? You know, we discover that Pastor Devin, he can do his job and my job and a bunch of stuff in between, which is, you know, awesome. You know, Pastor Jim, that guy walked across America and all kinds of stuff like that, you know. Just like, you had Paul Alexander, he's the president of Hope International University. I love this guy. He's been a good friend for a long time. He helped me write my first college paper, okay? And as you learned, it wasn't an algebra thing. But he's the kind of president who tweets good stuff and you want to hear from him all the time and things like that. And I'll tell you what, then of course you had Caleb the last few weeks. And man, I am no eye candy like Caleb. And again, if you missed all this, if you think those are all insider things, go back and listen to the podcast. But no, seriously, the devil kept trying to steal my joy. I mean, the joy of all these things that God was letting me do. And the devil kept trying to steal some of that away from me and cause me to compare myself to everything else. And if that wasn't enough, in the midst of all that, as many of you know, we went through the crazy time of an emotional roller coaster of my dad passing away. And I realized, you know, that yes, some people, some of you in this room, you know, who didn't have relationships like you wish you could have with your dad, and some people are worried that they might become their dad. I have just the opposite problem. I live all the time wondering if I'll ever measure up to the man. And he was an amazing father, and we were blessed to honor him. But all that stuff, you know, keeps adding up. And so I discovered that I was working through this fear and trying to kill some of these spiders along the way. But while I was staring out at the Tuscan hillsides with my lovely bride, while I got to ride bikes and just go on an adventure through New York City with our daughter Brianne, while I got to see the beauty of the Amalfi Coast with our youngest daughter Hannah, go hiking in the glaciers of Canada with my daughter Shelby, and climb to Machu Picchu in Peru with Hillary and some llamas. Okay, you got to know Hillary's llama thing. Woo! It was fun. In the midst of all that, and while I was just kind of dealing with stuff, God reminded me that it really is all about relationships. I was reminded that God created me. He created me and wants a relationship with me. He wants to. He actually wants to spend eternity with me. And I don't have to measure up to anyone else. All I truly need is to be in relationship with him, and he'll handle the rest. And knowing that can help squash those incredible spiders that bring fear and insecurity and pain to our lives. And folks, that is what we are all about here. We are all about helping people find hope, true meaning, true love, acceptance, forgiveness, and grace in a relationship with the only one who can totally provide it, and that is Jesus Christ. And that is what we do here. That is what our church is all about. And folks, listen to me. This remodel stuff is awesome. This place looks great. I mean, I was moved to tears just walking in the room and thinking, wow, thank you, Lord, for your people, and thank you for letting this happen. But this remodel, this is not what it is all about. It is not about me. It is not even about you. We remodeled this place so that we could present with the best clarity possible the message and the news of real life in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the one who brings real life. And we did this so that people for years to come and generations to come will proclaim the goodness and the glory of our God in this place and throughout the world. And we cannot imagine that the lights or the sound and all those things are going to do this job for us. This is Roundup Sunday, and we need to get busy about the business of rounding people up. It is great to be here this morning with you all. It is wonderful to be in this place and see the house just packed. But folks, we all have people who are brokenhearted, people who are just broken, people who need the love of Jesus around us. And our goal is to bring them in to the family of God. So, because I could go on and on and on with stories about today, and we really want to get to the message of what we're all about, I'm just going to give you three quick things this morning. If we are going to accomplish that, if we are going to be people who bring people into the love and the power and the grace of Jesus, if we're going to be a church family where his grace just flows out, where we do learn to speak the truth in love to everyone and live that out in powerful ways, then we need to, number one, the first thing is, it sounds simple, but we need to care. We just need to care. I hear so many people today with things going crazy in our world who seem to have lost the ability to just really even care about what's going on. Care about our neighbors in deep ways. And we're called to love our neighbors as ourselves. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son." That was the extent to which God cared. That he would give his only son to die on a cross to pay the price that I couldn't pay. And he loved us so much that he did that so that whoever would believe in him would not perish. Do we care about the fact that the people around us are perishing? I got to tell you, traveling around the entire world, I got to tell you, it's not just here. Our entire world is in desperate need of a Savior. I went to places where these enormous cathedrals, I mean, just, you know, covered in gold and everything else and all these things and all these artifacts and everything else, and they're empty on the inside. That is heartbreaking. They're empty on the inside, but there are lines and lines of people on the outside wondering if they can just get a peek in. And I thought, someone needs just to invite those folks in to somewhere they can meet the real Savior. So the question is, do we really care about what's happening with the lost people around us? Somebody asked me, were you ever nervous? Did anything ever worry you while you were traveling in some of the places that we went? I said, I only got scared one time on our whole trip. And the one time that I got scared was this. Hannah, our youngest daughter, she was supposed to fly over and meet up with us in Rome. And Brenda and I had gotten there first, and so when we got there, and she had the same exact flight at the same time and everything else, you know, nonstop flight, L.A. to Rome, we thought this is going to be easy. And so when we got out of the airplane, we just walked down the thing, and I just took pictures of everything. Like, this is the hallway you walk down, you know, these are all the shops, and this is the place where you can sit down and have a coffee, because Brenda and I were on our Footsteps of Paul journey, and we were flying back from Istanbul to meet up with her in Rome on the same day, but we were going to be like an hour and a half behind her, but we thought, this is no big deal. She's going to sit. There's some amazing places. You can have a cappuccino, right, and you can wait for mom and dad, and we thought, this is going to be perfect, except for the fact that evidently they were busy that day, and they ended up at a totally different terminal. And she comes walking in, and the pictures that I sent her were nothing like what she was seeing. And she got a bit panicked. And she started to get scared. But we know nothing because we're in the air flying her direction. Right? And when we hit the ground, all we know is she's lost. Right? And my heart just sunk because I'm scared to death for her. I started to feel her panic. I started to feel her fright of being in a place that was unfamiliar, in a place where she was alone and lost. And I did not turn to Brenda and say, well, we got three more at home. You win some, you lose some. Hope she can find her way home. She's a smart girl. She just graduated from college. We paid all that money so she could figure stuff out. Let her, you know, she'll be okay. I was ready to tear that airport apart. And folks, there are people there, God's children, around the world, some of them panicked, some of them scared, most of them just lost. And the question is, are we willing to tear the place apart so that they can get found? Are we willing to do whatever it takes to find them and bring them in to a found relationship with a God who wants to save their soul? And it hit me that there's some times when I will search for my lost cell phone more than I will search for lost souls. Do you identify with that a little bit? Because I think sometimes that is what exactly happens with some of us. And praise God, we landed and we found our lost sheep. You see, but that kind of urgency to find the lost is what the Bible, what Jesus, what God's Spirit is calling us to as a church family. And so in a sense, you know, I come home invigorated with this idea that, man, we've done a great job here, and we've got to keep doing an even better job reaching those who are lost. And we have help with that. We sang about the power of Jesus in Acts 1, verse 8. It says, you will receive power. Power. Everybody say power. Power. Power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. Okay? In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. We will get power. And what is this power all about? When it says here, you're going to receive this power. And you know what? It doesn't say when the Holy Spirit comes on you, you're going to feel tingly all over and super spiritual. Could be byproducts at times, but what's that all about? As I read through Scripture, here's what I notice. Is that we have been given power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And what is the main purpose in Scripture for having that power? It is for getting the message out, for being witnesses of the grace and life that comes through Jesus Christ alone. That is the primary purpose of that power. Read through Scripture. Okay? Now, the Holy Spirit does some awesome stuff, but it's almost every single time for that particular purpose. And we've been empowered for it. When the Holy Spirit gets involved in the Bible, people run out into the streets and share the gospel. They don't sit inside and plan more and figure it out. They run into the streets and with power present the message of salvation in Jesus. And it happens over and over and over again. See, Christ's love compels us, it tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:14. Because we've been loved by him, we want to share that love with others. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, we want to tell you this. We, sitting in this room, we have discovered something amazing. There is a God who created everything and created us, and he actually likes us. And he loves you. No matter what's happening in your life, he loves you, he cares for you, and he wants to provide power and healing in your life. So we're glad you're here. Welcome home. The big question is, are we going to care enough to take this message and share it with other people? See, people, quite honestly, you've heard the cliche statement before, but it's not really cliche. People don't care what you know until they know that you care. How are you demonstrating that you care? Do your neighbors know that you care? Or do they just kind of think you're kind of a nice person? I hope. I mean, how are you caring in your neighborhood? How are you caring at work and at school? How are you caring for the people in your family that don't know Jesus? Are you willing to tear the place down to make sure that they know that they're cared for, that you're searching for them, that you want to be with them? I mean, if your neighbor had a terminal illness, would you care? The next question in that thing is, if your neighbor had a terminal illness and you had the cure, what kind of neighbor would you be if you didn't at least offer it to them? And you see where that line of reasoning is going, because, folks, we are surrounded by people who have a terminal eternity problem. And our job is to get the message out to them. I heard this while I was gone this year, at one of the churches. It was, there are two reasons that someone has not become a Christian yet. The first is they've never met a Christian. The second is they've met a Christian. Do you understand the power that we have in who we are, and we will either draw people to or force people away from who Christ is. So we need to care and figure out how to demonstrate. I want to encourage you to figure out ways that you can not just think about or feel that you care, but how will you show that you care to your neighbors, to your Jerusalem, to the people that you work with and go to school with? How will you demonstrate that you care? The second thing we need is we need prayer. Folks, do you know how powerful prayer is? Prayer is incredibly, incredibly powerful. I heard this amazing kind of fun story. There was kids in this family of a pastor, and they wanted a kitten. And so they the dad was reluctant, but they went out and they got the kitten. But right when they got the kitten climbed up a tree, right? And as kittens do, couldn't figure out like how to get down. And so the kids are crying, and you know, the mom's trying to tell them what to do, and dad's trying to figure this whole thing out. And they put the bowl of milk down, the kitten wouldn't come down, the kitten's just scared, everything's happening, nothing's working. Finally, the dad, he goes out and he gets the car and he gets a piece of rope, right? And he lassos one of the big branches on the tree. And he says, okay, if I pull with the car and pull this thing, the tree's going to bend over. And when the cat gets close enough, you grab the cat out of the tree, right? So he starts going slowly, slowly, and the thing comes down, and it's almost there, and the kid's getting ready, and then the rope snaps. And the cat goes like, woo, just launches the other direction, you know, just totally launches the other direction. And that's the end of the story. Not every story has a happy ending. Not everybody gets saved. The Bible actually tells us that. No, a week later, the pastor's visiting a lady in the church that lives a couple blocks over. And while they're visiting, this kitten comes walking into the living room. And the guy's like, I'm sure that's our cat, our kitten, right? And the pastor looks at the lady and says, I didn't know you had a kitten. How long have you had the kitten? She says, oh, about a week. And you're never going to believe this, pastor. He says, well, where'd you get the kitten? She says, you aren't going to believe this. And the pastor says, well, what happened? He says, well, last week we were out in the backyard. And my daughter was just saying, Mommy, I want a kitten. And it was like, Mommy, can I please have a kitten? And I was like, no, you can't have a kitten. I don't want a cat. I'm not a cat person. We're not getting a kitten. And the daughter just kept pestering her and pestering her and pestering her. She says, and that little thing was just wearing me down. And finally, just out of frustration, I said, well, okay, here's what we're going to do. We are going to kneel down and pray to Jesus and see if you should have a kitten, and if Jesus provides you with a kitten, that you can keep it. And he says, and Pastor, you are never going to believe this. Oh, man. When we pray, amazing things happen. And when we don't, it won't. Think about that for a minute. They prayed, and man, God got all the glory, right? And you never know when you might be the answer to someone else's prayer. You just never know. I know some of you who've been praying for people in your family, people and friends and stuff for years and years and years. And I know because I've had the opportunity at different times to get to share the message of the gospel with people that somebody else had been praying for years and years and years. And you never know when your faithfulness of sharing the gospel is literally the answer to somebody's prayer. But we need to pray. And I want to encourage you that you would be praying for people. And not just saying, oh, I'll pray for you. No, praying for people who are lost. And start with the ones who are closest to you. Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses. And he started in Jerusalem where they already were. right? So right here where you are, start. And start by praying for them. And I would encourage you to say, okay, who are the people that are closest to me, the people in our families? And those can be hard. Some of you have been praying for years. But and then the people who live close by, the people who work with you, the people who you're closest to who aren't believers in Christ. And I want to just encourage you to list, to write down the names of, at least five, but I go for 10. It's like with a room packed like this, we've got well over 400 people in the room. You know, if we've got like 500 folks in the church family who are praying every day for 10 people, that's 5,000 people getting prayed for. And pray expectantly. And pray for opportunities to share the gospel with people. We've got to be people of prayer. If we don't believe in that power, we're in big trouble. Folks, we need to be praying for people to come to Jesus. And after prayer, we need to share. A lot of us think that we just pray and then leave it to the Holy Spirit, right? He'll just take care of things. Well, can I ask you something this morning? Where does the Holy Spirit reside? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses. Folks, if Jesus was going to just do it all himself and not involve us in the process, the day of Pentecost was unnecessary. But because the day of Pentecost happened, he is depending on you and me to take the power that he gave us to do with it what he asked us to do, and that's to be witnesses. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, "Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you?" The power of God's Holy Spirit is working and living in us, not just so we could be all, "Woo, that feels good," but so that we could do the work he's called us to. Every one of us is called to be a witness. As I read through the Bible, I notice this truth, that people are not saved apart from the message of Jesus being shared. And the message of Jesus being shared does not happen apart from somebody who actually goes and shares it. Folks, we need to get at it. We need to share Jesus. This world, and I have traveled a lot of it this last 3 months, this world is desperate. But the unfortunate thing is sometimes Christians are not. We need to get desperate to welcoming people home to Jesus. We are called to help with the harvest. We need to get on with the harvesting. Jesus said that, man, the fields are ripe unto harvest. Guys, I got to tell you something. Newberry Park, the Canal Valley, it is ripe for harvest. Places I've been around the world this last 3 months, they are ripe for the harvest of Jesus Christ. And we are the harvesters. It's like the world is God's like orchard, and we're supposed to go out and pick the fruit. We're supposed to go out and harvest it. Now, if it's not ready, don't yank on it. Okay? But keep an eye on it. Keep an eye on it. See where it's at, right? Let the sun do its job. And then when it's ripe, though, when it's ripe, you gotta pick it. Because do you know what happens to fruit if it ripens and then nobody picks it? Yeah, it falls to the ground and it dies and it's rotten. It starts to stink. I heard one guy say, what happens with the fruit if we don't pick it is, that ripe stuff that's just ready, says, yeah, the Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons, they pick it. We got to get way better, folks, at picking the fruit, at doing the thing that God has called us to do. We're called to be the light of the world. The question is our light on? We're called to be the salt. Please don't get stuck in the shaker. So to close this morning, We have been blessed. I have been blessed to see God at work around the world in amazing ways. But I have also been able to travel and see that we have a world that is in desperate, desperate, desperate need of a Savior. And the only one that can provide all that our world needs is Jesus. And in this place, in this time, He is calling upon us to share His message of grace with the people around us and the people of our community and the people of our world. And we get to join in to this amazing venture, this incredible adventure of taking the love and the grace and the message of our Savior to people who are lost. And when my eyes met Hannah's at that airport, there was joy. And that's what God wants us to feel as we help somebody come home. And if you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, we want to introduce Him to you, you to Him. Because He loves you. And He wants to have a relationship with you. For those of you who are sitting in the room and you've gotten used to coming to church, but you have forgotten the depth to which your Father loves you and wants to be with you, the fact that He created you, that He wants to spend time, He wants to spend eternity with you, then we want to remind you of that. And the greatest thing that reminds us of the lengths that God would go to tell us about this is that we, every week, we share communion together. And it reminds us of this incredible gift that our Heavenly Father sent His one and only Son to die on a cross, to shed His blood to cover my sins and your sins and the sins of the world and all who will claim Him as Lord. And we come and we gather around His table. And this morning, my prayer for you is that as you take communion, the little piece of bread representing His broken body and the cup representing His blood, that you would once again realize how much you are loved and how much love you have to share with the world. Welcome home. Welcome home. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You for Your love for us. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You, Father. Father, I thank You for Your people. Empower us, enliven us. Allow Your Holy Spirit, Father, to just pour out. And Father, not just dwell on us, but move us. Move us, Father, in the mission that You have called us to get out into those harvest fields, Father, and to harvest for You. Father, thank You for loving us so much. Help us to love others. In Jesus' name.